We bless you, Master. We bless you. We call on the name above all names, Jesus, who will answer us and show us great and mighty things. We come to you this morning, Father, in the mighty name of your Son, and we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction, and conviction. Conviction. That we may receive your conviction, that we may receive your chastening, that we may get in position, and that we may deny ourselves and fulfill your will. Lord, wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, fill us with your Spirit as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place. Teach us. Establish us. Perfect us. Anoint us. Appoint us. And bless us. Bless us with revelation, confirmation. Bless us with a touch. Bless us with truth. And bless us with eyes to see what you want us to see. Hear what you want us to hear. And receive what you want us to receive. As we bind the powers of darkness and every spirit that would come against anyone here, we bind blind, mute, and deaf those spirits. And I send your word to each and every one that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole, that they may prosper, and that they may be in your image, likeness, and character, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know, we have been talking about, in fact, our last teaching, we had talked about the reality of balance and then an importance of maintaining a balance in both realms. And first of all, there's got to be a reality that there is both realms. If you don't have the reality that there's both realms, you're already in trouble. Hello. And in this, one of the things that Jesus spoke about, and go to John 14. John 14. And John 14, verse 6. If you don't have a Bible, we have some. The word is true. We never want to put our opinion above the word of God. And John 14, 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it. And Jesus said to him, I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life is associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. The way is known as the outer court. The truth is known as the holy place. And the life is known as the most holy place. Everything is associated with the tabernacle of God. When Jesus came into the world, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, I am the tabernacle of God. I am who is and who always will be. In other words, Jesus was the eternal presence, power, and truth. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty who came into the natural realm. So he gave an area here. He says, I am the way, truth, and life. Now, if you look at the chambers of the tabernacle, the way being the outer court, the truth being the holy place, and the life being the most holy place, one of the areas of maintaining balance is being in the holy place. Because it maintains the balance of both realms. Is everybody with me? Jesus walked in both realms. Unless you can, let me share something with you. You must, as a believer, as Christ-like, an individual, must walk in both realms. For whatever realm you're caught in is where you'll stay in. Hello? That's why there's many people who just believe once saved is always saved. That's just plumb crazy. Who you serve when you die is where you go. Now, let's keep going. Verse 6. And I am the way, truth, and life. And he says what? No one comes to the what? Father except for through me. If you had what? Known me. Everyone say know him. You would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus was rebuking Philip, saying, you've been with me so long. And you don't know me. Hello? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now this is so powerful. Because to know him is to be able to do greater works. Now let me share something with you, that one of the things he does is he will test you to see if you know him. If you know him, you will have balance. Now again, a reality of balance is established by patience. To achieve balance is a process of trials. And to maintain balance is to make what is unseen to become seen. So there are three things that we must do. But if you know him, you will have balance. Again, I will share this with you again. Balance is established by patience. It is achieved by trials. And is maintained by making what is unseen to become seen. Because if you're an individual that does not make what is unseen to become seen, you will always be deceived. You will live in a religious state, thinking that you know God, but you don't. See, there's a three areas. There are people who hear about him, who've met him, and never know him. Just because you meet someone doesn't mean you know him. I'm telling you, there are many believers who will die and go to heaven, God willing, who will realize that they never knew him. Even Jesus said to them, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that, I cast out devils, I did all of these things. And he'd say to them, I never knew you. Because they didn't know him. See, they used God, but didn't know God. There's a difference. People hear about him. They've met him, but they do not know him. And when there's a difference in knowing him, and that's what he is doing right now. There is a time to know right now. We are in a season that is so important that you know your God. The more you know him, the more balance is perfected. So that you are complete and lacking nothing. In other words, you know him. You won't lack anything. You'll be complete. You're made perfect in him. You'll know that no matter what you're going through, he's going to bring you through it. Because you know him. You know that he's changing you. Because, see, you don't change on the mountaintops. You change in the valleys and the trials. Hello? You don't change on the mountaintops. You don't change when you're being blessed. You change when you're going through the stuff. And that's where he tests you to see if you know him or not. Everything is made available to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. I'm telling you, it is so essential right now that believers know him. Go to 1 John chapter 2. So he will test you to see if you know him. And he already knows that you don't know him. He's testing you to let you know you don't know him. One of the things, when people get in trouble, whatever, they run to the phone, they run to the bottle, they run to the dope, they run to the sex, they run to the money. They run, don't run to him. That means because they don't know them. They don't know him. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, this is a reality. Have you heard about him? Have you met him? But do you know him? In verse 3, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, now by this we know that we know him if what? If we keep his commandments. And he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the things that he tells you to do now. His commandments come from his voice every day. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. See, the word believe means to follow. If you claim that you're a believer but not a follower, you're a liar. Same thing. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself ought to walk just like he walked. Hallelujah. To know him is to walk like him in character, not in production. In character. God is more concerned that you have his character, not what you can do or what you can produce. That's why he rebuked the ones that said, I did this for you, I did that for you. And he says, I don't know you, homie. Yeah, you used my name because I have covenant. I kept mine, but you didn't keep yours. But cause since I kept mine and you didn't keep yours, you ain't coming in my house. Hello. Romans 8. In verse 27. Romans 8, verse 27. Is everybody okay? Good. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who what? Love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God is trying to conform you into the likeness of his son. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if you know your God. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or trial or distress or persecution or famine or lack or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's conforming us into his image. In other words, his character and likeness, who walked in both realms. Who what? Walked in both realms. Turn to John 8. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. John 8, verse 28. Let's read this, please. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. See, if you know him, you do the things that please him. And he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the what? The truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Now wait a minute. Where is the truth located? In the middle chamber. Why? Because if you know balance, hello? You get it. You will be free. There's a lot of people who know truth, but they're not free. Because they don't know him. They don't know him. He is the truth. You might have met him. You might have heard about him. He might have touched you. He might have filled you. But you still might not know him. Now in this, he says, if you know the truth, in other words, if you know him, you will be free. Has everybody got it? You'll be what? Free. To know the truth is to know him. It is the middle chamber and balanced. To walk in both realms with freedom. Go to Matthew 28. See, you got to check your own fruit and see where you're at. You can't deny your fruit. You got to deny yourself. You can't deny your fruit. You're supposed to deny yourself, right? You judge yourself by your fruit. If you're bearing good fruit, praise God. If you're bearing stinky fruit, then you better know them. Something's not right. You know, God makes way for everyone. But how many times do we reject his hand or his way? How many times do we turn our back on him when he's trying to make a way for us to get free? You know, he checks us to see if we know him. And by knowing him, you trust him. If you know somebody, you trust them, right? You'll also know their character. You know, one of the things that people still struggle with is tithing. Tithing and offerings and things of that degree. They struggle with it because they don't know him. And they don't realize that by giving God 10%, he's protecting your money and trying to increase. He's trying to get something to you. But because you don't know him, and if you don't know him, you won't give to him because you can't trust him. And so you do everything in your own strength, and you finally get to a point where you get so fed up with yourself. And every time you go to a certain limit, there's an area of limitation where you can only go so far, and you crumble every time. Because you've never broke those barriers. It's because you don't know him. See, you can't live on somebody else knowing him. You can't live on your mother knowing him, your father knowing him. You can't live on your parents being preachers. You can't live on them being missionaries. You can't live on anybody else knowing him but you. Because only you stand before him. And you'll know him or not know him. In Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying what? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Let me tell you. When you know him, you know you got authority. You won't take no garbage from no demon. You won't let him destroy your marriage. You won't let him steal your finances. You won't let him. Because you know how to make what is unseen to become seen. If you don't, you'll always be deceived and you'll stay in that cycle. Up and down, up and down, up and down goes the funny clown. I used to sing that to my daughter. But you'd be a funny clown. You'd be used by the devil, all attached. You know, like those Muppet things or whatever they are. Whatever they are. And all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So no, you know what? Then you got authority. Because he's delegated authority to us. He says, go therefore, make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have delegated authority by knowing him. Mark 16. Delegated authority by knowing him. In verse 15. Would you read it, please? And he said to them, what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes. What's the word believe mean? Follow. To follow. And if you follow, it means because you what? Know him. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe, or those who know him. What does it say? In my name, they're what? They'll cast out demons. Hallelujah. Well, the first place you need to get rid of them is in you. And they will speak with new tongues. That means you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you speak directly to your Father. Of course, there are many critics. Well, I don't understand it. Well, get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you don't have to have anything to worry about, man. It's amazing how the spirit of fear comes upon people. Man, they got no fear to go in a bar. They got no fear to go into places to get dope. They got no fear to do strange things, to get money. But yet, when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God, they got fear. Because it's the spirit of fear that prevents an individual from knowing God. And they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Wow. Why? Because they have a delegated authority. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanied signs. Delegated authority by knowing him. Go to Ephesians 4. It is a time to know him. For there is testing of knowing him. Now the testing is for you to know whether you know him or not. He knows whether you do or not. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we are in critical times right now. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there. I say out there because I don't live out there. I'm not a part of the world anymore, even though I live in it. And you're not supposed to be either. And you as a friend of the world is an enemy of God. In Ephesians 4 and verse 20, what does it say? But you have not so what? Learned Christ. In other words, you don't know him. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off concerning your former conduct. Wow. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. They've not learned him. They've not known him. Again, you may hear about him, meet him, but never know him. You know, he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to become mature in wisdom and character. To become mature in wisdom and character. There are those who've hung around the church for a gazillion years and still remain big jerks. They still remain idiots. And an idiot is an individual who is spiritually blind. So don't be offended. Hello? And they're always individuals whose feelings are hurt. They feel of rejection, and they're easily offended. They have to be treated like babies, and they have missed the whole point of Christianity. Are you listening? You know anybody like that? Don't point them out. Pray for them right now. Hello? Proverbs 13. These are those who've been hanging around the churches and they still remain like big jerks and idiots. With their feelings, they're always easily hurt, feeling rejected and offended and everything. People get offended at the pastor, what he preaches. And they have to be treated like babies and they've missed the whole point of Christianity. You know, you must have a desire to want to change. If you don't want to change, you'll still stay miserable. Proverbs 13. Let's start at verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, and the lamp of the wicked will be put out. 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. But he who gathers by labor will what? Increase. Go to verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be what? Wise. But the companion of fools will be what? Will be destroyed. You know, I got to share something with you, which is important. You know, God trains us up to reign. You know how he trains us up? He puts us in a place where we must be disciplined under authority. Where you are placed under authority, where you are disciplined under authority, where you are now accountable to authority. It's amazing how many believers want to be a lone ranger. And their lone rangerness brings trouble, torment, and they don't mature because they can never grow. Because if you're not under authority for discipline, you have no authority. You and I are being trained to reign. People want to jump from the first stair to the second stair. They want to drive through Jesus. It don't work that way. You must go through Holy Ghost boot camp and officers training school. Everybody does. God does not give you a pill to take and say, poof. It's done. You made it. Nobody's made it till we hear him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. In this, we must avoid friends, so-called, that are not models of Christ's character. Who you hang around with is who you become. Are you listening? The Bible tells us, bad company corrupts good habits. You know, and I know that some of us work in difficult places. But, you know, when God's trying to make a way of escape to work out of a place that is not godly, take it. Well, the money's not enough. Well, then you're trusting in yourself and not God. And you will never grow. Avoid friends that are not models of Christ's character. Go to Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 17. Is everybody there? In verse 17, let's read it together. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Amen. And the God of peace will crush Satan underneath your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So you are tested by whom you hang around with. Are you listening? God will test you in who's your friends. Why? Because those who are friends of the world are enemies of God. Yeah, but I've known him for years. It doesn't mean that, you know, you don't say hello and you whatever. You know, but first of all, you've got to be Christ's character so that somebody can follow you. Hello? It's amazing how many people just please someone. You know, I get calls from people who've been struggling with this and struggling with that. And then they try to convince me that they've changed. And I don't know why they're trying to convince me. They need to convince God, but God ain't convinced over nothing. He knows you by your fruit. Yeah, well, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink during the week now. Well, that's good. I only drink on weekends. Yeah, I've really cut down. I'm doing this for God. God don't need you to do that for him. He needs you to follow him. Hello. You are tested by whom you hang with. Now listen, I want to share something with you in this next verse. I want you to go to Daniel 11 because this is where we're at and this is what's coming. That's why we've got to know him. Daniel 11. In verse 29. Is everybody okay? Are you learning something? If you got convicted today, God bless you. It's an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to get on the right path. Just make sure you repent and do what you got to do. In verse 29, at the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south. He being Satan's kingdom, Satan's army. But it shall not be like the former or the latter, for the ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the what? Holy covenant and do damage. In other words, he will come against Israel and those who are believers. So he shall return and show regard to those who what? Forsake the holy covenant. Wow. See, Satan shows you regard for if you're willing to forsake the covenant of Christ. That's why some people go, man, it was better when I wasn't serving the Lord. But it wasn't better. The end result is terrible. You just haven't given God an opportunity to work because you don't know him yet. And verse 31, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place their abominations of desolation. And those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with what? Flattery. Man, we hear that every day on the news, right from the White House. But the people who know their God shall be what? Strong and carry out what? Great exploits. Those who know their God shall be strong. You will not be moved. You will be sent. See, there are many people who are moved because of offense and all kinds of other foolish things. Because they don't like what they hear. They don't agree with the things of God. But they're not sent. See, one of the things the devil wants to do is move you in that, so God doesn't have the opportunity to send you. So everybody got it. But the people who know their God shall be strong in the Lord and carry out great exploits. And those are the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. This is coming. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. Many will follow you just because of intrigueness. Why? Because you're standing strong and you're instructing others. That's why it's so important about knowing prophecy. Because many people will not know what's coming or what's ahead. They don't know what's going on right now. They're so caught up in trying to pay their own bills that they can't see beyond themselves. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. Then the king shall do according to his own will. This is Satan again. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. In other words, he is coming from a religion that honors God, but he doesn't. He's got another god. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. And at that time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots or horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And he shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. By these shall escape from his hand Edom, Moab, and a prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of the of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and from the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury and destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. He's talking about Satan. But those who know their gods, know their God, shall do great exploits, not be flattered by false promises of flesh and wealth, but with integrity of covenant, wisdom, and the character of Christ. And I want to close at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It is the time to know him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Read it with me, please. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard may declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that you may, that your joy may be full. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow. It is time to know him. It's not to play games. Don't worry about all the other things or what you need. He knows what you need. What you need right now is to know him. If you know him, you have everything. You'll be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. You'll allow him to bring you through all the trials and circumstances because you know that he's molding you into his image and likeness. You won't look behind. He will establish you in the present. He'll fix your past, and he'll prepare your future. But grab hold of him, and he'll grab hold of you. Let go of him, and he lets go of you. He is the God of covenant. He makes covenant with you and expects you to keep his covenant so that his promises can be yea and amen. He is faithful to complete what he has started. It is truly a time to know him. Truly. And if you don't know him, I encourage you today to ask for his forgiveness, rededicate your life to him, and give him your life. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. And ask him to visit you. And ask him what is between you and him, that it may be removed. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Master, that the seed would grow and bear fruit for your glory. That your conviction would lead to repentance. That your repentance would lead to freedom. And that your freedom would lead us home. Lord, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you, and we prepare our hearts to have communion with you right now, in Jesus' name.